if I may, to read part of the psalm we read this morning, Psalm 50. And then later, Psalm 60 and 62. First, Psalm 50. Psalm 62, verse 1. To him my soul waiteth from God, and him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine this sin against a man? He shall be slain all of him, as a bowing wall shall he be, and as a tossing fence. Then we consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul wailed out only upon God for my expectations from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. For God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are alive. If they be in balance, they are altogether vital and vanity. Trust not in oppression, neither not vain and robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that thou belongest unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest every man according to his work. I know that as long as I'm here for him to say that he always seems to cut anything out of it because interest is so precious. And I just think of my expression we had in the third verse, and my sister saying, we saw from the first and last verse of this hymn, and this particular verse we found very precious. Help us to cling to thee, our strength and our salvation. Help us to find in thee the one eternal truth. And this is something that I have seen in these three psalms that we read together. It's interesting that these were written under very difficult circumstances. It appears two of them are by David. One is a chief musician on the Ignor. So the chief musician to Gideon, a son of David. The one before that was a meetup or an instruction or a precious thing of David's speech when he served with Ahab and Zoah, when Joab returned and spoke to Edom in the valley of Saul, 12,000. Just come back from a successful battle. And yet, what did he experience in the beginning of this first few verses? And he's thinking of what they've been through, what a difficult time it's been. But we find each of these are not particular expressions that I was drawing attention to. The other ones we just noticed were mentioned the son of Asaph. Asaph was the chief of the singers of David. We read about him in Chronicles, where they were instructed to sing, and Asaph was the leader of the singers. He collected together, I spoke at the son of David and others. And as it comes to music, we see some of the tunes at the head of some of these psalms, and they were to be sung on particular occasions. What different psalms they are, how different is the character. But one thing I urge your attention to, that if you forget all the rest, that's one expression that comes in, as we may think of. The first verse of Psalm 50, the mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken. Psalm 60, verse 6, God hath spoken in his holiness. Psalm 62, verse 11, God hath spoken. One. Twice have I heard this, the sound of God unto God. God hath spoken. This is really the whole subject. But the Bible isn't in the very first page of the Bible. The very start, many years ago, there was a printing exhibition at Earl's Court in London. Went up there and said a particular section of this in the gallery, printing in the mind of men. Maybe there's no this one across the gallery there. And it was very noticeable. They had an enlarged page, the first page of the first printed book. That is the first one you'll hear. Which happened to me, it was the Bible, that is the Bible. And there we find the first spoken words of God. And these are even words, two words, fiat, lux, who are carried up into an enlarged version, a big circle, as though they were looked at through a large glass. That is words in old Gothic letters, fiat, lux, then there be light. The first spoken words of God. So the very first page in our Bible, one of the first verses of the Bible, we find God speaking. What did he say? Let there be light. And throughout the Bible, we find God speaking. He spoke to Adam. In the third chapter, I'm speaking. In the second chapter, in the third chapter, I'm speaking to Adam. I'm speaking to Noah. I'm speaking to Moses. And this is the subject for this Psalm of Asaph. The mighty God, even the Lord, Jehovah, has spoken. The interesting thing about this first one is that he has spoken here, out of Zion, and he has spoken not only to the heavens from above, but to the earth. He called the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. God's spoken to the earth. This is wonderful. Not only to the heavens, you read that in the first chapter of Genesis, God spoke, or read this in the comments of Psalm 33, he spake and it was done. And by the word of God, the heavens were. But he spoke to the earth. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth, God spoke. It's very important, isn't it? Because we might have excuses if not so, say, well, God is so far away, God has made so many worlds. Remember how he took Abraham to look at the stars, they didn't count them. No, you can't count the stars. People thought they could. One time they got a range of stars, they got them now. And then somebody made a telescope and saw a lot more. And then they made a telescope and saw still more. And now they admit that the stars cannot be counted, the multitude. But do they need to count? They God made so many wonderful worlds. Why should it be interesting? Why would you find sex to go to the universe called the Earth? But he is interested in that, and in the inheritance. He spoke to the earth that he may judge his people. It's very solemn, isn't it? God's message to the earth is a message of judgment. You will tell me that sitting out here, the gospel of the grace of God is the Christian. Yes, it is. And yet, the very gospel of God begins with this message that God is a holy God, God is a righteous God. God cannot tolerate sin. This is a very essential part of the gospel. Find in the Romans epistle, the epistle of Romans, where the gospel is set forth. The apostle says he's not ashamed of the gospel of God. He goes on to say, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Righteousness. So, is that good news? The God is righteous, the world is guilty. He goes on to say, for therein is God revealed. From heaven he has all ungodliness. He goes on to say, our world is guilty before God. Is this good news? Well, he says all the good news when we go to the doctor. We may think something is wrong with us. We put his finger on the spot straight away and say, yes, there is the trouble. God's diagnosis is necessary if it's going to be cured. And so often people will not go to the doctor because they're afraid there's something wrong with them. They're afraid there's something wrong. The time they go, they're too late to put it right. And what they did, the doctor can put his finger on the spot and say, that is what is wrong. And prescribe medicines or whatever treatment is necessary to put it right. So that's another way to run first. That's why God speaks here. You call to the heavens from about to the earth that you may judge. Later on, verse 6, heaven to declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. God doesn't entrust judgment to anyone else. God is judge himself. And we read there how God spoke to particularly Israel, the nation he's chosen, and all the nations of the earth, to reveal himself. He spoke to them. His voice was heard. You remember, they entreated Moses, but they would not hear his voice again. It was too terrible for them to endure that voice. God spoke. And I believe this is something we read of here. The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken. I mean, it's going to refer in a certain way to Sinai. When God's voice is actually heard, there's a sound of a trumpet, of a thunder. So now, if he's been treating Moses, sit down with God and speak to us. There was someone between them and God because God's voice was too terrible for them to hear. And God's message, too, was too terrible for the world. And God spoke to the earth. After sin came into the world, God's message is too terrible for men to bear. And yet, those in the grace of God, one will be sure that this word comes in here, this word we're singing about in our hymns, for salvation. In the Psalm 50, God speaks of his all sufficiency. People, I suppose, for all times, all races, have sought to propitiate. Deity. We know that even heathen countries where it seems they have no sense of right and wrong, they all have a feeling that there is some power that has to be propitiated. They have to bring some kind of gift to this God there. And we've heard of the kitchen God in China that stuck up in the kitchen. And it was rather embarrassing sometimes because he would see what went on in the kitchen. So he just put it in a sweet food in this idol's mouth because it would keep him sweet and he wouldn't tell on him. This is the idea that they have of God, a God that can be sweetened by little sugar and spice and a few sacrifices. Sometimes human sacrifices, we know in many countries. God says here, if I were hungry, I would not tell thee. The world is mine. The woman thereof, will I eat the flesh of fools and drink the blood of youth? No, God doesn't want that. It all belongs to him. God made it all in the first place. God made man and beast. We saw yesterday. God created man and beast in the world. It all belongs to him. What can we offer to God? What have we got to offer? There's no doubt in our hymns. What have we to offer? He said, go simply. Call upon thee in a day of trouble. I will deliver thee, thou shalt glorify me. People often say to me, and you can understand, it seems reasonable, I do not mean to call upon God now that I'm in need. Now that I see that I'm in need, I do not mean to call upon God. God wants you to very first. God wants you to call upon him when you're in need. God expects you to call upon him when you're in need. The very fact of calling upon God. When you're in need, join my God, listen here. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Because God is the Savior of God. God doesn't want us to stay in our sins. God doesn't want to take up his strange work, as Isaiah calls the judgment. God doesn't want to judge the world. He's not willing that he should perish. He wants to save. He wants people to call upon him in the day of trouble. How the people of Jumbo is welcome to call upon him. Psalm 107 is so beautiful, isn't it? Keep on saying. All men will praise the Lord for his goodness. The wonderful works of children of men. Let's speak of those that call upon the Lord. Various characters and categories of men there. And they call upon the Lord in their distress and hope, deliver them for their fears. That's the God that are revealed in the Bible. This is that God has spoken to the world, but God doesn't want us to call upon His Son. He doesn't want us to bear our own burdens. He wants to bear them because He is the mighty God, the Lord, the Creator of all things. You can't give Him anything. Even the praise from the utter. The voice has been given by God. The intelligence to know God has been given by God. The very thoughts that we utter, the very ability, the very breath that we draw, is all given to us by God. So we have nothing that we don't receive. And so, the hardest thing of all is to take, isn't it? To accept something for which you cannot pay. It's just what God says, call upon me in a day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And in the last verse, let's ask, whoso offers praise glorifies me. And in the order of his conversation with God, in other words, one day of obedience, I will show the salvation of God. That's a lovely word, salvation. The salvation of God. The greatest number seven times in the scripture, the salvation of God. Think of the message that Isaiah was given, and it seems a very difficult sort of message, but it was for the future day when the Messiah would come. It was 700 odd years in being fulfilled. Yet, we're seeing in the Gospel, the quotation again, this chapter of Isaiah, is as a little piece there. All flesh shall see it, then Isaiah 40. But in the quotation of the New Testament, all flesh shall see what? I mean, the salvation of God. Because it was revealed. All flesh shall see it together, as we're learning in the Old Testament. So when it comes to quoting the New, we see what and whom they see. Because it's not just something. Salvation is something, of course. Something very real thing to say. To be delivered by some sort of person. You think of Simeon, who took the baby up in his arms, is now called, let us now thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For my eyes have beheld thy salvation. My salvation is in the baby. God's salvation. That's what he did not hear. In the order of his conversation of life, that I show the salvation of God. So what God wants to give to each other is the very title of the Lord himself. I will show this blessed one who is the salvation of God. Because we cannot have salvation outside of Christ. So this is our gospel tenders upon Christ. That it is the salvation of God. Would you read in the other Psalms we read together? We saw there in Psalm 60, for example, God speaking. And just as we borrow that thought, God has spoken to the earth. In verse 2 of Psalm 60, we see the effect of it. The earth trembled, is broken. We read that in the Bishop of England. God's voice shook the earth. We're speaking of God, finally, I shook the earth. God said, Haggai, there's not only those men shaking the earth, there's the shaking heavens as well. You've got to shake the heavens. Yes, what's on? Not only the earth, but the spoken and shaken the earth. But you're going to shake the heavens. The voice of him, you're going to shake the heavens. Oh, what a voice that is. The very heavens are going to roll up and put away like old guns. They're going to put away. So then you get it, and you are when righteousness is going to dwell. This is the God who is revealed here in verse 6 and 16. God has spoken in His holiness. In His holiness. If God has spoken in His holiness. Psalm 22, that wonderful expression of the Lord Jesus, possibly the very words He used on the cross, certainly some of them were. He says, for thou art holy, thou art inhabitant of praises in Israel. For thou art holy. Now knew it, the words of the Lord Jesus. Reading this morning, 1 Peter 11, 17 of John. the sanctity, the holiness. Holy Father, he said, Holy Father. He addressed his father as the Holy Father. And we sang this in the name of the Psalms. The worship of the Lord is the beauty of holiness. The beauty of holiness. We think of the vision of Isaiah. Think of the creatures in the fourth revelation. They say, Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord. Christ Holy is the Lord. You never forget it. The holiness of God. People don't buy this word, but what is it? He's saying that so many words have another meaning. You speak of holiness of people who are, yes, too holy to live, people are too holy to live with. And holiness in the sense of there being awkward and different. Well, there is a difference about holiness. It's the difference of a positive holiness, a positive sanctity, not something that is negative. Not only that we don't do this, we don't do that, we don't go with them, we don't listen to that doctrine, we don't do all so many things that other people do. It's not that at all. Holiness. We read in the first application, as far as I know, in the early books of the Bible, we read holiness unto the Lord. The priests were consecrated to the Lord. It's positive. Now set aside for God's service. That's holy. In the same wonderful way as God is holy, he cannot bear to come in into. So those that are serving must be holy. That is then entirely put to his use. We read under the various vessels in the New Testament. We find the certain inferior vessels that are used only in the kitchen, only they never come from the table of the master. Others are clean vessels, precious vessels, meat for the master's use. That is the true holiness. God has spoken in his holiness. Holiness. Holiness here, the ring of, which is yet more. The people of God, even, the people of God is there, the holiness of God. There's a thing of David himself. He wrote this psalm, and he must have thought of a time when he acted hastily, he acted sinfully, times when he, for example, with the best intentions, trying to bring the ark back, but not in God's way. And God has intervened. God spoke in a very serious way. He had to put on his hands, tend the ark. He was smitten dead. David fell on the Lord. He was displeased that day. He couldn't stand before the holiness of God. Heavily. And yet, this wonderful, holy God who spoke in holiness, he said in verse 4 of this Psalm 60, that he had better to them to fear thee. We may be displayed because of the truth. Thou hast given a banner to them appearing. And that God says, look, you hear me. You obey my word. I'll give you a banner that may be seen. That may be seen by all because of the truth. And the point is that thy beloved may be delivered. Saved with thy right hand here. Saved. God speaks of delivery, the one who delivers, the one who leads us. In the last verses, give us help from trouble, that's the devil. Then is the help of man. Through God, we should be valued, for it is he which will tread down our enemies. Our enemies, you think here of the nation, or the time mentioned here, the nation without a doubt. God's able to give them victory of all the enemies. David experienced it. Only God, he said, is able to give us victory of all the enemies. But over the greatest enemy of all, over Satan, God is able to give us the victory through the finished work of the Lord Jesus. And you read how by death he died, slew. Yes, this is a real victory. God has spoken. God has spoken. The Where do you think the first chapter of Hebrews that God has spoken becomes past and about to the prophet? He said messenger after messenger. As I did when we read at the end of the book of Kings, the Chronicles, and Jeremiah, how God speaks there of having sent his messengers rising up early and sending. God's got up early in the morning, especially, send a messenger to them. But they wouldn't come. Again and again, he sent his messengers, prophet after prophet. The Lord Jesus showed us the power, didn't he? They sued none, they stoned others, they beat others and drove them out. Last of all, he sent his son. Having one son, his love and love, he sent him in the divine Hebrews 1. Having his last been spoken by his son, written, very personal, his son. It is God himself who has come. Just as God is judge, so God too is a saviour. God is just God's saviour. In the final revelation of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, we see there, for God has spoken, God has spoken. And we think that's perfect life level, and God has spoken in holiness. This is interesting, it's connected with rejoicing, it's connected with triumph, it's connected with health and trouble, it's connected with turning down the enemies of God. Holiness is involved in all these things. Holiness is not just something being pushed up in your corner, it's not something someone being shut away in a monastery where nobody can see anything from what is being done. No! This holiness of God is active holiness. And we see this in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy One of God. Even the demons recognize him. We know that you are the Holy One of God. They recognize you as the Holy One. And yet just see how mighty a conqueror he was, conquering him and the power of death, taking free his captives, those who through the fear of death, for their lifetime suffered in bondage. The mighty victory he gave, vain as the help of man, true. Man is not able to cope with sin and death, but God is. And so through God we shall do valiantly. It is he who will clear down their enemies. So this again is deliverance, salvation. There's what we found in Psalm 62 again, wasn't it? This we know this is to give them, another of this mighty men of song, the Psalm of David. He's quite different in character from the others. His soul is waiting upon God. Why? Because from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock for my salvation. He has said it again, because something has to be repeated. Let's say it again. God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength. Yes. Verse 6 again. The only is my rock and my salvation. God has spoken. Verse 11. God has spoken. Well, twice have I heard this, the power belongs unto God. Maybe if you find here, reflection. God spoke once. In a way, you see, with the shining of light. Reflection. Consideration. I believe that there's something over here because we find God has spoken in the Old Testament, all these messages sent by God. We're focusing for one point. Coming to the Lord Jesus. The New Testament begins at that point and goes on, shining back upon the coming of the Lord Jesus. The focal point in both cases is the Lord himself, the one who came to be the salvation of God. And so here again we find that God has spoken. God has spoken once. Yes, God has spoken this way, we think. Yes, there's one message, one gospel, one Savior. No, God's not going to repeat this history. Moses, in his wrath, Aaron, to object him, we go to the 20th Numbers, he repeats an act that God promised him, right back in the 16th of Exodus, right at the very beginning of Exodus, when they first came into the wilderness without water, God told him to smite a rock. He did it, obediently. Not those years afterwards, when they were well on their way, when he should certainly have learned much from the ways of God, and God had indeed revealed very much to him. God said, speak to the rock and to give the water. He didn't. He didn't speak. He spoke it twice in his wrath. He said, must we give water? Must we give you water? You rebels. God couldn't forgive that. Because the Lord Jesus not to die two or three times. By one offering, he fell into forever. And the world was complete. And this was spoiling the world. God spoke in one. What is the message? This power belongs to God. Not only power, we need a power in the power the Lord Jesus has is one that conquers a strong man. He spoke of a strong man who keeps his goods. The stronger than he comes to deliver his captives and takes his goods. That was he. A stronger than the strong. Powerful. But he's a power. Now I have power. And then down my life, a power to take again. Raised from the dead by the Lord of God. He had that power. Not only power. The last verse of the Psalm 62 says, also unto thee, O Lord, longeth mercy. For thou makest every man according to his work. There's one thing we can say. In God is my salvation. He wants to reveal his salvation to us. He wants to make it known. His power and his mercy. If it was just power, the sinner, the power of his voice shook the earth. And we read in the same first chapter of Hebrews again, he maintains the world by the word of his power. Lord Jesus. But not only power, but mercy too. All thanks to God for his mercy. Mercy is only undeserved. We don't deserve anything to have from God. We've rebelled against him, we've sinned against him. Many of us need as ungrateful for God's wonderful gift. But mercy also belongs to God. He went to every man according to his work. But then again, mercy, you can see how that was. That doesn't mean to be reaction to mercy, but it is. Wonderful thing to see that the day is coming when God is going to say, when the Lord is going to say to the one who's been faithful, even little. Well done, good and faithful servant. And yes, all they've done, the very power to do it, very grace to carry out that good work was only given by God. It's all about, and yet, even that, as you walk, where our reward is, our render is doing that according to his work. And the Lord of Prophet, those that seek to tell the Lord here today, that he's witness to him, we seek to hold fast. To his name and his word, to know that there is coming when he will manifest that which is being of himself, reward according to that which he has wrought in us. God has spoken to the earth, and spoken in holiness, and spoken once. So I have heard, both in the Old Testament, both in the New, the power and mercy belong to God.